Lesson 8. Salvation. Lesson Objectives. 1. The student will be able to explain why the cross is an offense to many people. The condition of the sinner. The necessity of the atonement for forgiveness. The meaning of repentance. The elements of saving faith. Why the atonement is sufficient for all people and all sin. The basis of personal assurance of salvation. The redemption of creation in general. A statement of Christian beliefs about salvation. 2. The student will understand the error of religion without repentance. Introduction. Activity. Before continuing the lesson, read Psalm 85. What does this passage tell us about salvation? The cross. The most important Christian symbol is the cross. The cross represents the event that is the center of all history. It represents the difference between the Christian faith and all others. The cross is a mystery to many people. They do not understand why Jesus died. Even if they hear that he died because he loves us and wants to save us, they don't understand why it needed to happen. They ask, "If God wanted to forgive us, why couldn't he just do it?" Confusion about the cross started from the beginning, when the first Christians began to preach the gospel. Read 1 Corinthians 1:22-23. The Jews thought that God would show himself in power. They thought the salvation they needed was deliverance from oppression, but the cross seemed to show weakness and failure. The Greeks thought that God would show himself in wisdom. They thought the salvation they needed was explanation about how to get the best out of life. But the cross seemed to be foolishness and failure. Something to think about. Why are some people offended by the cross? The cross is an offense to many people. Many people are willing to be religious. They are willing to believe certain things, practice religious customs, and get advice. But they are angry at the idea that they are such sinners that the cross was necessary for their forgiveness. They think God should not object to their actions or character. The cross offends them because it means that they are sinners who need forgiveness. To understand the sacrificial death of Jesus on the cross, we must understand that the condition of sinful man and the holy nature of God caused a great dilemma. We must understand why the atonement made it possible for God to forgive. The human condition. Because of the sin of Adam, every person is already separated from God when he is born. Romans 5:12. That means that each person is self-centered and goes his own way. As soon as a person begins to make choices, he begins committing sin. Every sinner is guilty of many acts of sin. Read Romans 3:23. Sin is a violation of God's law. 1 John 3:4. James 2:10-11. Because God is absolutely just, he does not excuse sin, and every person will be judged for what he has done. 2 Corinthians 5:10. Revelation 20:12 13. There is no question about any person's guilt or the judgment he deserves. Every unbeliever is already condemned. Read John 3:18-19. The sinner who has not repented is the enemy of God. Romans 5:10. A sinner cannot come into relationship with God unless his offenses against God are removed. The sinner is also in a condition that makes him unfit for a relationship with God. The sinner is corrupt in his desires. Ephesians 2:3. Because he is a slave to sin, the sinner is powerless to change his condition. Read Romans 6:20, Romans 7:23. So what is the salvation the sinner needs? Because the sinner is guilty, salvation means forgiveness. Because he is the enemy of God, salvation means reconciliation. Because he is corrupt, salvation means cleansing. Because he is powerless, salvation means deliverance. These are only a few of the aspects of the salvation that the sinner needs. The dilemma: people could not pay for their own sin. One reason is that everything we have already belongs to God anyway. A more important reason is that sin is an offense against an infinite God. and there is nothing of infinite value available for people to pay. There was absolutely nothing that people could do about their need. Therefore, no requirement could be set for them that would accomplish salvation. Read Galatians 3:21. If it had been possible for people to accomplish their own salvation, it would not have been necessary for Jesus to die on the cross. Read Galatians 2:21, something to think about. If God wanted to forgive, why didn't he simply forgive without the cross? Because God is holy and just, he must judge according to truth and justice. Romans 2:5-6. The term atonement refers to the fact that Jesus' sacrifice is the way for us to be reconciled to God. Imagine if the sacrifice of Christ had not happened. What if God simply forgave sins without the atonement? If God forgave sin without the atonement, it would seem that sin is unimportant. It would seem that God is unjust and even unholy. It would seem that in God's eyes, there is little difference between a person doing right and a person doing wrong. If forgiveness were without atonement, God could not be worshipped as the just and holy God that he is. Forgiveness without atonement would ultimately dishonor God instead of honoring him. So that could not be done. But God is loving and wants to forgive. He did not want to leave all humanity in a sinful condition to be eternally lost, even though it was what they deserved. The sacrifice of Jesus on the cross provided the sacrifice of infinite value that was needed. Jesus qualified, one, by being sinless, perfect and not needing salvation himself, 2 Corinthians 5:21, and two, by being both God and man. The atonement provides what is needed as a basis for forgiveness. Now God can forgive the person who repents and believes his promise. Nobody who understands the sacrifice on the cross can think that sin is not serious to God. The atonement provides a way that a just God can count as righteous the sinner who believes the promise. Read Romans 3:26. Romans 3:20-26 gives a logical explanation of how the atonement works. The Bible tells us that the means of salvation God provided is absolutely the only way. If a person rejects salvation by grace through faith in Christ, he cannot be saved. Read Mark 16:15-16, Acts 4:12, Hebrews 2:3. This is why it is important to know the doctrine of salvation by grace alone, received by faith alone. Salvation is by grace alone because there is nothing we can do to earn it or deserve it. It is by faith alone because there is nothing we can do to accomplish it. We can only believe God's promise, the first grace. Something to think about. Who makes the first step toward a person's salvation, God or the person himself? God has taken the first steps toward bringing the sinner to salvation. He showed his willingness to forgive by providing the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Now God's grace reaches into the heart of the sinner, convicting him of his sins and causing him to desire forgiveness. Read Titus 2:11, John 1:9, Romans 1:20. The sinner would be powerless to leave his sins without God's help. John 6:44. God gives the sinner the ability to respond to the gospel. If a person is not saved, it is not because he had no grace, but because he would not respond to the grace that God gave him. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world, and God wants every person to be saved. Read 2 Peter 3:9, 1 John 2:2, 1 Timothy 4:10. God's grace gives every person the ability to respond, but he does not force anyone. That is why God calls upon the sinner to choose to repent and believe. Mark 1:15. Repentance. Something to think about. What is repentance? To repent is to turn around and go the opposite direction. Theologically, it means that a sinner sees himself as guilty and deserving punishment, but is willing to turn away from his sins. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Isaiah 55:7. Repentance does not mean that a sinner must correct his life and make himself righteous before God will forgive him. That is impossible. But the sinner must be willing for God to deliver him from his sins. Something to think about. Salvation is received by grace. So why is repentance necessary for salvation? Faith is the only requirement for forgiveness, but faith for salvation cannot exist without repentance. If a person is unwilling to repent, he does not want to be saved from sin. If God forgave the people who continue in sin and refuse to repent, that would dishonor him as the righteous judge of the earth. Repentance is necessary, because if a person does not repent, he is not admitting the evil of sin. If he doesn't see why he should turn from sin, then he doesn't see why he needs forgiveness. If a person has not seen himself as truly guilty, without excuse, and deserving punishment, he has not fully repented. If he admits that he is a sinner but wants to continue sinning, his repentance is incomplete because he wants to keep doing what he has said he rejects. Saving faith. Something to think about. If a person has saving faith, what does he believe? When a person has saving faith, he believes that. 1. He can do nothing to justify himself. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Ephesians 2, 8-9. He realizes that nothing he can do, works, will make him deserve to be saved, even partially. 2. The sacrifice of Christ is sufficient for his forgiveness. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. 1 John 2:2. Propitiation means the sacrifice that makes it possible for us to be forgiven. Nothing is necessary in addition to Christ's sacrifice for our forgiveness. 3. Jesus rose from the dead, conquering sin and death. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:9. The only way that sin and death could be defeated was for Jesus to be resurrected. Jesus rose to life again, proving his complete victory over both. 4. God forgives him on the condition of faith alone. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. If one thinks there are other conditions for salvation, he expects to be saved partly by works instead of completely by grace. Assurance. Something to think about. How can individuals know for sure that they are saved? Some people depend on their feelings, but feelings are changeable and can be misleading. The Bible tells us that we can know for sure that we are saved. 1 John 5:13. We can have confidence that God has accepted us. We don't have to live in fear because God's Spirit assures us that we are adopted children of God. The Apostle Paul says that the Holy Spirit witnesses to our human spirits that we are God's children, Romans 8:15-16. This assurance is so complete that we do not have to fear the judgment day. Read 1 John 4:17. Some people say they hope they will be accepted into heaven, but we can have a better assurance than that. It is not enough to believe that salvation is offered to humanity in general. A person must know that he himself is saved. A changed life is evidence that a person is saved, but that evidence does not exist at the first moment. Results of salvation have not had time to appear. Therefore, at the time of repentance, a changed life is not the basis of assurance. The believer can be sure of his salvation by knowing that he has followed the scriptural way to salvation. If one has truly repented and believed as the Bible directs, he has the right to believe that God forgives him and he has become a child of God. If a person tries to feel that he is saved when he has not really repented, he will become confused and might deceive himself. If a person, 1, truly repents, 2. Trusts God's promise in Scripture, and 3. Receives the witness of the Spirit, he will not be deceived. This assurance is based on God's word, which is absolutely reliable. God always keeps his promises. 10 words for aspects of salvation. Reconciliation. This word means that those who were formerly enemies are now at peace. In salvation, God reconciles us to himself, and we have peace with him. Read 2 Corinthians 5:19, Romans 5:1. These verses talk about both justification and reconciliation. Expiation. This word means that a record has been cleared. In salvation, our record of sins is erased. Read Hebrews 8:12. Propitiation. This word refers to something that was given to turn away someone's anger. In salvation, Jesus' sacrifice turns away the righteous anger of God that was against us. Read 1 John 2:2. Deliverance. This word means that someone is rescued from another's power. In salvation, we are taken from the power of Satan and sin. Read Luke 1:74, Romans 6:6, and 12-18. Redemption. This word means that a price was paid so that someone can be free. In salvation, Jesus' death is the price so that we are free from the bondage and penalty of sin. Read Ephesians 1:7, Titus 2:14. Justification. This word means that someone is declared righteous or innocent. In salvation, a guilty sinner is counted righteous because Jesus suffered in his place. Read Romans 5:1, 2 Corinthians 5:19. These verses talk about both justification and reconciliation. Sanctification. This word means someone is made holy. In salvation, a guilty sinner is changed into a holy child of God. Many of the epistles refer to the believers as holy ones. Read Ephesians 1:1, Philippians 1:1, Colossians 1:2. Adoption. This word means someone becomes the legal child of another. In salvation, we become the children of God. Read John 1:12, Romans 8:15. Regeneration, new birth. This word means someone starts life again. In salvation, the believer begins a new life with the resurrection of spiritual life within him. Read Ephesians 2:1, John 3:3, and 5. Sealing. This word means something is marked to show who owns it. In salvation, the Holy Spirit in us identifies us as someone that belongs to God. Read Ephesians 1:13-14. Error to avoid, religion without repentance. There's a type of person who easily thinks that he is saved when he hears that salvation is by grace through faith. He hasn't truly repented because he didn't see that he needed to. He never saw himself as a sinner deserving God's judgment. He thinks that grace means that he can go his own way. Because he accepts the truth of Christianity, he thinks he is a Christian, though he has had no transformation. He never surrendered his own self-will. Instead, he accepted God as a part of his life and still lives mostly according to his own will. This is not the beginning of a saving relationship with God, according to the scriptural description. Statement of beliefs. The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ provide atonement for the sins of the world. Every person is guilty of sin and powerless to save himself. Every sinner who repents can receive God's grace by faith. The believer is forgiven and delivered from sin's power and punishment. The Holy Spirit changes the believer from a guilty sinner into a holy worshipper of God. There is no other means of salvation. Creation in general is redeemed and will ultimately be restored by God. Salvation in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, God provided a system of worship with sacrifices. The sacrifices did not provide salvation the same way that Jesus' death did. The Bible tells us that it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Hebrews 10:4. So why were sacrifices offered? They were forms of worship that symbolized the sacrifice of Christ that was in the future. Hebrews 10:1. That doesn't mean that salvation was unavailable until New Testament times. When the Apostle Paul explained the doctrine of justification by grace through faith, he gave the examples of Abraham and David to show that it was not a new idea, Romans 4, 1-8. Jesus said that Nicodemus should already know about the new birth because he was a teacher of the Old Testament, John 3:10. Paul told Timothy that the Old Testament scriptures would make him wise about salvation, 2 Timothy 3:15. So the gospel was available in the Old Testament, though it was not described in such clear terms as in the New Testament. There were some in Old Testament times who understood grace. They didn't know the details of the atonement or how it would work, but they believed that God was providing a basis for forgiveness. The sacrifices were the form for expressing that faith, just as we have forms of worship today, for example, the Lord's Supper. The sacrifices were worthless if they did not come with faith and obedience, just as our forms of worship are worthless if they are not expressions of a heart and life that are submitted to God. Psalm 51 and Isaiah 1, 11-18 show that repentance and faith were important during Old Testament times. Psalm 85, which was written many years before Christ's atonement occurred, beautifully describes God's grace and how God forgives sin. It talks about his anger being ended. Psalm 85:10 says, "Steadfast love and faithfulness meet, righteousness and peace kiss each other." This is a wonderful picture of salvation through the atonement. Without the atonement, the mercy of God would be limited by the truth that we are guilty. The righteousness of God would make us his enemies instead of allowing peace. In the atonement, justice is fulfilled and mercy is shown. The salvation of all creation. The words saved or salvation are used broadly in the Bible. They refer to more than just personal salvation, which has been described in this lesson. These words refer to what was done in the past, Ephesians 2:8, what is happening in the present, 1 Corinthians 1:18, and what will happen in the future, Mark 13:13. This concept can refer to what happens to individuals, which is what has been emphasized in this lesson, but can also refer to groups of people, such as the Jews, Romans 1:16, Gentiles, Romans 11:11, a household, Luke 19:9, or a family, Hebrews 11:7, or can refer to a person being rescued from physical danger, Matthew 14:30. When the first people sinned, a curse came on all creation, Genesis 3:17. When salvation is completed, creation will be restored as well. Salvation begins with spiritual renewal. Believers are saved from sin and they live in God's blessings. However, they have not yet experienced deliverance from the physical aspects of the curse of sin. They still have bodies that age and die. Nature is still under the curse of sin. We have not seen the world the way God originally created it. We see nature that is full of harmful creatures and creatures in conflict with each other. In our world, many creatures must die for others to live. The time is coming when all creation will be renewed. Revelation 21:1, Hebrews 1:10-12, Romans 8:18-25 describes the Christian hope of a world freed from the curse of sin.